a number of companies, including LexisNexis. And this provision was added, as you know, in the floor without any hearings. And it does have some problems, we think. We think it's somewhat ambiguous. I understand it was meant, the way it's drafted, to not make any change in the way you have the process work now, except that I'm afraid a court would interpret it, look at it, and say that the legislature made some changes, so you must amend something and read into it something that was not intended. I think the just the way of background, the information on a driver's license obtained for a number of purposes is very important in fraud prevention. Companies collect this information, provide information, identification information to financial institutions as they're required to find out who their customers are, they know their customers under the Patriot Act. It's used for law enforcement for a lot of purposes. Many of my clients' customers are law enforcement agencies to obtain information, which is helpful. It's also used, I mentioned fraud prevention at a number of different places, also insurance, auto insurance, and driver, you know, they have to know this information. And we think the potential here is the way it could be interpreted is to prevent those uses without specific written authorization, which I don't think is what was intended, but that's what the problem is. And this is a major issue across the country because this information is used to identify people, as I mentioned, for a lot of reasons. And address information is important for tracking people over time and identifying the right people who may have the same names and so on. So we think if there were to be something like that included, it should have been subject to a hearing where this information could be brought out and the committee could make a judgment about it. So we would appreciate taking it out of the bill.
Questions for Mr. Tennyson from members? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair and Senator Dietzick, I know this was Senator Westrum's floor amendment. Is that correct? Can you explain the purpose and his reasoning? Was there something, a particular incident that?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen. Yes, Senator Westrum talked to me. He had a constituent who I believe had his information, what he understood to be sold, and then was getting some marketing information and marketing, and he was marketed to. And so he was upset at that and wanted it. The purpose of the language was to clarify what was already law and just to literally clarify more that you could opt out. Mr. Tennyson's concern is that this has changed it to more of an opt-in. We heard from DBS that there may or may not be a fiscal impact. I did try talking to Senator Westrum to see what his thoughts were. I have talked to Senator Dibble, who's chair of the Transportation Committee, that this might have some other larger issues, and so that he should continue to look into it next year.
Any other questions from members for Mr. Tennyson?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tennyson. Well, obviously, by taking no action, it's deemed not adopted, obviously, so I don't sense an appetite here to affirmatively adopt it and make it part of the conference report, but I think it was important to revisit the issue, and Senator Westrum or any member of the House is welcome to bring it up as a bill next year, and maybe it's something that will bear fruit from various hearings. Let's go to the second of what Senator D.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make one more statement. I will be talking to Senator Westrum to possibly bring this back through the Transportation Committee because I think there are some issues that have come to our attention that I think should be brought to in a full hearing, and so I will be talking to him. And as I said, I already did talk to Senator Dibble. I understand it, that he was trying to do. I am concerned that it opens up a bigger can of worms and has a fiscal impact. That I know he didn't want to cause a fiscal impact. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, and I will talk to him later.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. The next issue, the second of what I at least have concluded are the three issues for us to look at, pertains to some Department of Public Safety language. I think it was added as a floor amendment by Senator Limmer. And if staff could just direct us to that portion. This was the data, if you recall, members that there was some concern or speculation that perhaps the courts and or two particular Native American tribes might, we're only speculating, might have some problem with that language, and we had resolved to get to the bottom of those concerns, if any. Mr. Gary.
So, Mr. Chair, this section is Senate Section 27. It starts on page R21 and then runs through R23. And the meat of kind of the issues that the committee has been discussing is on page R22.
Okay. And Ms. Engler, do you care to comment on this? I know you've been part of the group that's looked into whether or not there are such concerns. I think we were all sort of speculating at one point. And what can you tell us about that? If you could introduce yourself and let us know.
Mr. Chair, members, Katie Engler from the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I do know that the courts will have an issue with this language. We have obviously a collaborative relationship with them. I negotiate with them on a regular basis, and they, because they are exempt from Chapter 13, and they have their own rules about how they handle data, they will object to the language in line 22.35. So, and with respect to the tribes, I don't know if Red Lake and Boyce Fort have issues with this or not. The other tribes, by state statute, are obligated to follow Chapter 13 in order to have a law enforcement authority.
My understanding is, and I don't think there's any advocate here on behalf of either of those tribes, my understanding, though, from staff contacts with them is that they do not have an issue. Certainly Boyce Fort, I'm not sure about Red Lake, but I believe it's the case that neither tribe has an issue. So now we're really down to the court objection. I don't know if there's anyone here from courts. I don't see anyone, at least that I know. Do you know, Ms. Engler, is there some particular fix here? Is it an all-or-nothing deal, or is there some way we can amend this to satisfy what you believe the concerns of the courts are?
Mr. Chair, I believe in line 22.35, if there was some reference to the court rules of public access to the records of the judicial branch, that might solve their problem.
Ms. Engler and members, I think Mr. Gehring has tried his hand at some language that might work. Mr. Gehring?
So, Mr. Chair, one possible amendment to reflect the court's concerns could be on page R22 in the Senate language, line 22.35, delete the and insert a comma, and then before the semicolon at the end, insert and Minnesota Supreme Court rules governing public access to records of the judicial branch. And it's a little bit wordy, but that's the official title of the rules that the court uses to regulate access to its data.
Ms. Engler, I know you're kind of the interpreter or translator here. You're not here representing the courts, but to your understanding, do you believe at least that that would satisfy the concerns of the courts as you understand those concerns?
Mr. Chair, I need to ask Mr. Gehring to help me understand or repeat for me the connector between the current language and the reference to the court rules. I believe I heard the word and. I'm not sure that one's going to solve the problem. It might have to be an or.
The word and.
Mr. Gehring?
You deleted and.
Mr. Chair, the proposed amendment could be page 22, line 35, delete the first and insert a comma, and then after data at the end, insert comma and Minnesota Supreme Court rules governing public access to records of the judicial branch. So then that whole clause one would read, prior to establishing a secure connection, a criminal justice agency must, one, agree to comply with all applicable policies governing access to, submission of, or use of the data, Minnesota law governing classification of the data, and Minnesota Supreme Court rules governing public access to records of the judicial branch.
Mr. Chair, now we're going to require executive branch agencies to follow the rules of the court.
Yeah,
I think the problem is making the connection after data to the reference to the court rules using the word and means you have to, my understanding is you have to follow both. I think it needs to be you either follow state statute governing classification, or if you're the court, you follow your court rules.
Mr. Gehring, does that... We're putting you on the spot, I realize, but do you care to comment, or do you need a little time to think that through?
Mr. Chair, and Ms. Engler, so if we change the "and" to an "or" in the last bit that I read, would that solve the problem?
Mr. Chair, I believe that would solve the problem.
Okay, so if it said submission of or use of the data, comma, Minnesota law governing the classification of the data, comma, or Minnesota Supreme Court rules governing public access to records of the judicial branch.
Ms. Engler?
Mr. Chair, would it be clearer without the comma before the or, so that it's either or?
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, I think that'll be fine. And I can consult with Ms. Pontius, too.
Ms. Pontius?
Yeah, let's try
second
that
opinion?
Yeah.
Okay. If I were a bit handicapped here by not having someone from the courts, and you're doing a great job, Ms. Engler, trying to channel their concerns, it's almost an unfair expectation, but we trust that you've had these conversations. Any member, I'll move that language as an amendment, as expressed by Mr. Gehring, with the or, the last version. So I'll make that motion. Representative Scott?
Before we move to that, thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we also need that language on line 23.6? Or does it find the way it is on same page, R22? I know Mr. Gehring has said it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, I believe that language isn't necessary in that clause because the courts, the agencies that are included in paragraph E there don't have access to court records.
Thank you.
Any discussion to the motion to include the language as described by Mr. Gehring? Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any other issue on this language on page R22 and surrounding language? Senator Dietzick.
Sure. I think we need to adopt that, and then I just want to clarify that we did. So on line 23.2 and 23.9, I believe we changed the there to an it's. And then on the, let's see, 21, 22, 23, I think we ran into the Bureau and the BCA again. And so I just want to confirm which, if we are taking BCA or Bureau or Senate, I think we're doing Senate language on that, so...
And I forget, Senator Dietzick, I should know, but forgot. Did we already make that change? Did we already adopt that?
I think we might have, yeah.
I think we did. That was adopted.
Yep. Okay. Well, then I will move Senate language in, if I get this right here, section 27, starting on page R21, as amended.
Okay. Discussion to the motion. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, I think that's it for that issue. And that leaves, to my way of thinking, at least one last issue. But if I've missed one, please let me know. Oh, Representative Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if we were going to revisit the first section on the front page there. I believe we all had received a potential amendment from Ms. Beyer-Kopinski on this issue.
That's right.
On the personal contact data, the online information from cities.
Good
and I
point.
Didn't know if we wanted to discuss that or not.
I think I'd be interested in hearing from Ms. Beyer-Kopinski on her proposed language and then see what members feel. Ms. Beyer-Kopinski, could you come up, please?
Good morning, members. I'm Lori Barker-Pensky with the Department of Administration. And given the concerns that the committee has raised and the House and Senate floor debate, I was trying to look for a solution that seemed to address some of the concerns that folks had raised. And admin had also assisted Representative Freiberg in putting this language together in the first instance. So we kind of had a scope of what we thought he intended to cover. So the amendment would look like we would strike for other informational purposes and instead insert or as a part of a subscription list for an entity's electronic periodicals. And the definition of periodicals, we go to the dictionary, and a periodical is a periodic publication. So it's not intended to cover when someone makes a data request for a single piece of information or data. It would be when you are signing up for a list to receive canned materials that the government is choosing to push out to a broad audience.
Senator Dietzig.
So, Ms. Breyer-Kaminsky, would that include agendas, if you sign up to receive agendas, like I'm on, you know, many different websites and lists to receive agendas and notifications if they're going to have a meeting? So, and then I also get follow-up with minutes and stuff. Is that included under that definition of periodical or electronic periodicals?
Breyer-Kaminsky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dietzig, I believe it's either a part of the notification piece or it's the periodic publication. So I think minutes fits clearly within, and newsletters fit within periodicals. And notice of a meeting clearly is a notification that you've requested.
Senator Dietzig.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I am doing an email with the water department because I have a question on my water bill, is that considered... meaning that, and is that considered public data, and is my entire email and my water bill considered public data?
Ms. Breyer-Kaminsky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dietzig, there's a lot in that question, but typically when a citizen engages with government on, you know, kind of by just voluntarily engage with government, with the Parks Department or what have you, that data would be presumptively public. To the extent that you were talking about any not public data, so certain utility data is protected as and some is not. So it would depend on what you were communicating about. If I communicate with Ramsey County about my welfare benefits, that email might have not public content in it. But every data request agencies get for public data is considered presumptively public. So the state agencies that we've heard from have a concern that the scope of informational purposes might have been broad enough to encompass really every engagement with a citizen.
Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Breyer-Kaminsky, the definition of periodical, does that have to be published on sort of a set schedule or a regular schedule, or can it be intermittent or as circumstances warrant?
Ms. Breyer-Kaminsky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, the definition is a periodic publication of something more than one day. And I think notification really maybe fits more into the term of what is ad hoc. We have rotating things that often have some kind of a periodic. Maybe it's a once-a-year publication. Once, maybe it's every time a new case comes out. So I think clearly you can well cover things that are ad hoc through a notification piece of this language, and periodicals for things that really have standing schedules of when they're produced. You know, daily crime data, for instance.
Senator Latz?
Okay. But what if, for example, there's an ad hoc committee or an advisory committee that's meeting, and they're not on a set regular meeting schedule? They have a meeting, they decide when the next meeting is going to be at that meeting. So there's not like a every 2 weeks kind of period publication. And I don't know if that might fit under notification, but what if there's something more than notice of the meeting that's going out? Does that fit within this category?
Mm-hmm. Ms. Breyer-Kaminsky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lassen, I believe also the open meeting law has ramifications for some of those notices people receive around meetings as well. And in my mind, I think it does, because it's really the government deciding of the public data that they have that they are actively choosing to push it out to a broad audience. So you, in your instance, you would have to have people who have signed up. So there's a lot of acts. There's the citizen, you know, the government has decided, I'm going to let people sign up to receive this whenever it occurs, and that people, in fact, have signed up.
Senator Letts?
Because we're talking about lists and subscriptions and the way we think of an electronic subscription. What do we all want to hear about whenever it occurs? So either as a notice or as a publication.
Well, then do we need to say periodicals or should we say electronic publications?
Barbara Kopensky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Letts, one of the things certainly that I'd heard would be whether or not we want to say electronic periodic publications. Adding more words to really get at what you're hoping to cover and not more than that, as Representative Scott has pointed out.
Senator Letts?
I'm just wondering how best to capture the universe here that we want to capture. As some in the room know, I had a problem with this whole provision, but that's a separate question. I'd like to make it work well. And I'm just wondering if periodic causes too many restrictions in there. If it's a publication, even if it's intermittent,
mm-hmm.
does that open it up to too much abuse, which is the other concern?
Ms. Barbara Kopensky.
Mr. Chair, Senator Letts, and that's what I think that we are all struggling with, of how to really, as clearly as we can, define what this universe is. And I think that's what the struggle has been thus far. But I think everyone's got lots of ideas about how you could, you know, kind of put a better set of parameters around this and not cover more than you intend.
I'm interested, too. I see Senator Scalzi in the back there, and I don't know if she needs or wants to testify, but it is her bill originally, Representative Freiberg's in the House, and I'm wondering what she thinks about this. I'm at least curious.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. And I've been following this so closely. As you know, I've been here every day. This came up yesterday, and I came from the PCA, and I asked the PCA Deputy Commissioner, where were you in March when we could have worked this out? But this did come up just recently. And as she stated, the question about the water bill would become public data. So if a citizen phones or emails PCA or DNR or any other government entity to obtain information, simple information about, say, a watershed map or maybe what's the status of a certain TMDL, just a question, simple question, that citizen should not be subject to contact being made public, so that, as Representative Lesh calls it, a data harvester would be able to obtain access to her home via computer or telephone. So I think that's my main objection. To narrow it down to things like that would simply make public all the other informations. As Senator Disick said, if you question a water bill or question anything, the mind you just don't know what it might be. But there could be many other things that would be made public that a data harvester could obtain.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Letts and then Representative Scott.
That goes well beyond the scope of this bill,
yeah.
Senator Scalzi, and I'm not going there. Public data is public data.
Mm-hmm.
The point of this provision was if you sign up for an email notification for snow plowing or something like that, you're not submitting your name for sale and use in campaign materials and all sorts of stuff like that. But if we're going to start going down the road of every public contact with a government entity becomes private, that's a whole different ball of wax. That's not what we talked about in the Judiciary Committee, and I'm not going there. The fact is, you contact the government, it's public, and it ought to be public. That's how public policy is made. There's no secret communications that are supposed to be allowed. That data is presumptively public, and there's a very good reason for that. We selectively make certain government data private for broader public policy reasons. And the details of the water bill as it relates to Senator Dedzic's house, I don't know if that in particular is public, but certainly the fact that she's contacted the government to talk about her water bill ought to be public. And if you end up with 500 people contacting government to talk about their water bills, you want that information public, because then you got a bigger public policy question about what's happening with the water billing system in a city, and the public ought to be able to ascertain that and raise questions about it. So I'm okay if we're just going to focus narrowly on what's before the committee in this provision right now, but we go beyond that, I'm not going there.
Representative Scott.
I think my point is probably a moot one. I was thinking back to a rental property that we have in how someone's electricity had gotten shut off. And I called as the owner of the property to try to find out what the deal was. And since it wasn't in my name, I couldn't obtain that information. But that might have been dealing with a private entity versus the city. So maybe my point is moot. But that's what was on my mind. Was just I couldn't get the information. I even owned the property. But since the account wasn't in my name, I couldn't find out anything. So.
Yeah, 'cause I see Mr. Hines in the back there. I don't want to ambush you, and you need not testify if you don't wish to. But if you wish to, it'd be helpful to see what the League of Cities has to say, if anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, Patrick Hines with the League of Minnesota Cities. I understand that the conference committee adopted the language that was in the Senate and the House bills on Monday.
As amended by Senator
Rosen. As amended by Senator Rosen. And I testified on Monday that the League was comfortable with that, and we still are. If you, on the issue of electronic periodical, I had some of the similar concerns that Senator Latz expressed about what exactly periodical meant. However, Ms. Beyer-Kempinski testified to what her opinion of electronic periodical meant, and since she is the ultimate arbiter of what that means, if there's a dispute, any dispute would be sent to iPad, and iPad would interpret it in an advisory opinion. So if iPad views it the way she describes it in committee, I think we would probably live with it. That was the will of the committee, but we're comfortable with what you did on Monday as well.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hines? Members, my own view or interpretation is we have a fragile piece here, as it is. I know Senator Latz had some initial difficulty. I know that we don't have the House author here. Senator Scalzi, you've been very diligent in here every day of this conference committee because you care about this provision. My own inclination is to, despite, as usual, Ms. Beyer-Kempinski being very helpful and trying to be a bridge here, my personal inclination is to leave the Senate language as amended by Senator Rosen. We could perhaps, in bill form, revisit this next year, but it's my personal inclination not to reopen the language that has been painstakingly crafted to bring on board people with various points of view. That's my view, so I'm not going to make a motion to amend, though I appreciate Ms. Beyer-Kempinski's reasonableness and her work on this. And I think this is something that we could discuss perhaps next year in bill form. Representative Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that that's the route to take. I'm not really comfortable with the language that we did adopt, but I think it's something that we'll have to revisit next year to tighten it up.
Okay. Other member comments on this issue?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Latz.
For what it's worth, I like Ms. Beyer-Kempinski's language. I think it's more specific and more easily ascertainable by individuals, and I do think the informational purposes is open to potential ambiguity as well as perhaps some abuse. So I guess that would be my inclination for whatever it's worth.
Any other member comments? Seeing no further comments, there is one other issue, but it may not be ripe to revisit at this time, although Senator Latz may want to make some comments for the record. This is the issue of the crime lab accreditation. Representative Lesch could not be here this morning, and obviously he's a critical player in this issue. But, Senator Latz, I leave it to you, the extent to which you want to discuss it now. We can certainly recess the committee. I think that's the last item of business. It's completely your discretion.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a comment to make on that, but and it sounds like perhaps this wouldn't be successful, because I'm getting a sense on the previous issue here relating to Ms. Byer-Krupinski's language that maybe there isn't the support on the committee to adopt that. I don't know if the two members from the House are kind of set in their position now that you've already expressed. Clearly, there wouldn't be the votes to make the change in the language. I'm okay with continuing to noodle with it. I don't know. It was something of a balance, but I wouldn't say quite that delicate in terms of that additional language, informational purposes that's in the language. So I guess maybe I'll take a run at it and see. It's not a highly contentious question anyway, but I would move that we replace lines 1.22 to 1.24 in the Senate section 1 of the side-by-side with the language contained in Ms. Byer-Krupinski's proposal.
To the motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I would like to have Senator Scalzi's opinion on that motion.
Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would simply echo the words from Mr. Hines of the League of Minnesota Cities. We've had hearings and hearings on this, and I believe that the action that you took on Monday was what I'm comfortable with. And so that would be my opinion at this time.
Questions for Senator Scalzi? Okay. Any other comments from members? Okay, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 I'm allowed to change my mind, right?
Let me say one thing. I know we are in the middle of the vote. I'm going to breach protocol just for a minute here. I'm a little sensitive to author's intent here. I mean, that can't dictate everything, and we don't have if we're reaching a consensus on this language, I sure would like to ask Representative Freiberg about this. I think to at least do him the courtesy of that. He's not here, and I hate to recess yet again. What we could do, frankly, well, I don't know any way around this. I think I feel I would owe him the courtesy of at least asking him what he thinks, just as we have with Senator Scalzi. And depending on what Senator Latz says on what I think is now the final issue on the crime line accreditation, we may have to recess anyway, so it would only be me calling for a recess. Help me out here, Senator Latz.
You want me to prolong the other issue, Mr. Chairman?
Members, I feel duty-bound to at least ask Representative Freiberg, and he may say it's okay with him, he may not, but I do feel I want to at least run it by him. I don't think he's seen this yet, and he is the author in the House. So if it's okay with members for us to defer this, as painful as it is, I'd like to do that. So Representative Scott.
You know, I know we have a process here and everything, and I'm sorry that I kind of changed my mind, but what Senator Latz said just kind of blinked it on for me. But, you know, I guess I'm flexible here. Is the date of enactment right away after passage on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my motion so that you have time to consult with Representative Freiberg. I think that's entirely fair.
Thank you, Senator Latz. And then hopefully we can very quickly come to an end on this one. Any other comments, Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate your sensible approach. I think you've been very thoughtful about this, mm-hmm. and appreciate that. So,
thank you. The final issue, I think really the final issue now, is resides with Senator Latz and his concern about accreditation of crime labs. So, Senator Latz, take it away. Anything you want to say?
Mr. Chairman, first I'm having distributed to the members an email that I received last night from Assistant St. Paul Police Chief Kathy Wernan, in which she indicates support for language that I have put together to supplement or replace some of the language that's in the Senate part of our side-by-side. I don't know if we have copies of that proposed amendment available. We have a few. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I don't mind distributing the copies. I have sent a copy to Representative Lesch, or at least through his staff. I don't know if Representative Lesch has actually seen it or not. I also had occasion to talk with Representative Lesch last night. And it is quite apparent to me, and he stated directly that he is not willing to agree to the addition of or acceptance of any language with regard to the accreditation of crime labs in Minnesota. And I think I'm going to say no more with regard to our conversation, because it wouldn't be fair without him being here to say any more about that. I did communicate to him that I thought I was going to be receiving concurrence from the St. Paul Police Department as to the language. I had not received it at the time I was talking with him, but while I was talking with him, I received a voicemail message from Assistant Chief Wernan that said the essence of what's in this this email. In any case, it's apparent that I'm not going to get concurrence with it this year, and I'm saddened by that, and I think it's a short-sighted approach to public policy on this, but the process is what it is, and at this time I'm not going to make any further effort to have the Senate language included in this conference committee report.
Okay. Further member discussion on this issue? Senator Rosen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Latz, Representative Lesch is one vote, and I would guess I would like to have further discussion about this, because there are two other members from the House here to see their opinion of this.
As you wish, Senator Rosen.
Senator Rosen, just speaking for myself, this is the first time I've seen this language. I want a chance to look at it. I think, generally speaking, we've got to do something about crime lab situation, and it isn't just Ramsey County either. That's gotten all the headlines, perhaps unfairly. It's more systemic than that, it seems like, and Senator Latz has admirably tackled that. My impression, and he's not here to speak for himself, is that Representative Lesch does intend to tackle this too. He has his own ideas about how to do that, both procedurally and possibly substantively. I'd want to look over this right now, but in deference to Representative Lesch, I wouldn't feel comfortable adopting something without him here to at least discuss it. So, but it's an issue that definitely needs tackling, and Senator Latz has done that. Senator Dietze.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree, and I think if we are going to recess to for you to talk to Representative Freiberg, which I think is a good thing, I'd also like to we can bring this up again when we come back, because I know Senator Latz has worked hard yesterday. He worked hard in the past, and then he had a bill yesterday, and then he worked to try to come to this consensus, which I think is a good consensus. And so I would like to just, I know he's not going to offer it, but I think we could just, again, if we're going to meet again, short, we can just bring it back up just to get everybody on the record. Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Senator Latz has worked in a bipartisan fashion, too, on this. And so there has been a very thoughtful approach to this since, as I remember, November has been being worked on. So I don't think this is something we necessarily need to throw out. But, if there is not a comfort level because it has not been heard in the House, I certainly understand that. But there are some other circumstances that should be addressed, and just said, okay, it hasn't been heard, but doesn't mean this is bad language and cannot be adopted just because it was not heard in the other body. And we've done this over and over again where we've accepted good, thoughtful language. And so I appreciate you taking the time to take a look at this and see if there's something we can do.
Any other member comments, questions, concerns? Okay. Then, regrettably, we will. Why don't we recess? I just don't know. As you know, we're hearing a little bill in the House today, which might take some time. And so I don't know how much time. I don't know whether we can reasonably come back here after that. I just don't know. And we'll have to just all stay tuned. But if there's no other business before the committee. Oh, Senator Dietzick.
Thank you. And as another backup, possibly if we can't meet later today, we may try again 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Just put that on your... as a backup.
Right, and Senator Dietzick will have the gavel, and I truly do think if we do meet at that time, that will be it. We'll close up this conference committee. I can almost promise it. Senator Rosen, did you have a...
No, comment? Okay. Mr. Chair, I was just going to mention we had that Senate reunion today, so I'm not sure if anybody is going to that at 5:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other member comments? Okay, seeing none, the conference committee stands in recess.
Committee that won't talk.
Kathy? Can I?
I kind of drafted it up. It's pretty close to what she would have wanted.
I know. I couldn't do that.
I have tinkered with it because some people want it to be broader. Or as part of a subscription list for the right, as requested by the
subscription for the state register.
That
would
be
an
email.
Hello,
11 days to go.
Right now?
Right.
He's gotten up.
Yeah.
He told me last night.
Or to the whole. You know, that's what people are doing. They want to.
It's kind of like the. Judge Bork is.
I know.
That's federal law.
But anyway, so that's what.
So that'll what I'll end up.
Forgot about that. I have to be here.
Purposes or as, and so informational is out. Or as part of the subscription.
Question I would have is electronic. Or why would you put it electronic in a paper?
Well, yeah, it's the whole issue between emails different. You know, because if you, that's the thing.
I'll follow up.
That'll be up your address.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. But it's like somehow people, some, you know, feel like it's more intrusive than
actually.
That's right. Good point. Yeah.
Or guys from the burger using
it. I think what's going to happen is we're going to come back tonight.
Just a guess.
I mean, we're close.
We'll get whatever we want.
You're listening to the radical. I just assume you were going to be.
I don't have any. Yes, because you were in the committee. I'd like to get something done earlier.
Yeah, right.